Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. We are approaching Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, and Purim, this coming Motzei Shabbos. What I'd like to discuss this evening is a theme that comes out of the mitzvah of the Korban Ola, as well as Purim, and that is as follows. When you're in a relationship, we'll say in this case with the Ribono Shel Olam, there's going through the motions, there's doing what you need to do, and then there's doing what you do, not because you need to, because you actually want to. You're excited to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. You could say maybe serving Meir versus Ava. But we're going to learn this evening that a major theme of Purim and the Korban Ola is trying to re-experience our Torah and mitzvot observance, not out of a rote sense of, we'll say, burden, but rather we want more. We want more and we want more. So hence the title, Purim and the Korban Ola being quote-unquote all in. So let's see what we can do this evening. The Ramban has a beautiful introduction to Sefer Vayikra, and he explains as follows. Well, we have Torah Kohanim because we are going to discuss the how to operate in the Mishkan and the Korbanos. But what did we just finish in Sefer Shmos? We got out of Galus and we had the Ohel Moed with Hashem and the Mishkan. So what do we need to do now? We need to not mess it up. When you have the Shekhinah, so you know what we need to do? We need to make sure we don't lose the Shekhinah. So says the Ramban, now the Torah will say, bring Korbanos, guard the Mishkan, because if you do an Avera, you're at risk for losing the Shekhinah. We don't want the Shekhinah to leave us. So we need a Kapara. Similarly, we have holiness. We need to know how to deal with the holiness. You need a Kohanim and Levim, making sure that we don't abuse the holiness. And we need to make sure that when you have something so holy, which is what we got out of Sefer Shmos, we don't lose it. We don't misuse it. And the whole idea of Sefer Vayikra is to make sure you appreciate what you have. And we're going to use that Ramban as a theme. Because ultimately, when it comes to the Purim story, we're going to reevaluate the Shekhinah among us, and we're going to make sure we don't take it for granted. We're going to understand that we're living with Ribono Shel Olam, and we don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose it. We're going to celebrate it. So here we go. Sefer Vayikra opens up. Vayikra el Moshe vayidaber Hashem elav me'ol moed le'mor. And he speaks about the Korban Ola. Hashem tells Moshe to bring a Korban Ola. Now, what's interesting about a Korban Ola is that in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalid, the Torah describes as follows. The Samach Yodav al Rosh Ola. Are you going to put your hands on the animal? V'nirtza lo l'chaper olav. It will apparently serve as some form of atonement. And it will have a ritzoy, there will be some appeasement, Hashem will be more pleased with you because of this korban. What's the catch? It's not a korban chatas. A korban chatas, I can understand, okay, there's kapara, there's ritzoy. What did you do wrong when you brought a korban ola? What did you do wrong? Oh, so very good. It's not that you did anything wrong, but it's that you didn't do something right. Ah. And that, again, is going to be the major theme this evening. I mean, are you excited to serve Hashem? Did you realize there was an opportunity to serve Hashem? Says Rabbi Akiva, Meseches Yumala, Medvava, Med Aleph, Ein Ola Ba Ela Al Asei. So let's say you neglected to do a mitzvah Asei, Mevatel, a positive commandment, or Va'alosa Asei, Shenitik La Asei. You violated Elosa Asei, Nevera, let's say, for example, for Exela. And you had the opportunity to return what you stole. There was an opportunity to do a mitzvah asay, to counteract the lota asay you did, but you messed that up. So that's why you bring a korban ola. Rashi explains, listen, you have to bring a korban ola. You know why? If you did something that deserves kares or misa, that will serve as your kapara. When you get punished, you get lashed. But we need to figure out how to give a kapara for something that there's no set punishment for. Ah. The Torah never says what you need to do, how to fix a problem when you neglected to do a mitzvah, or when you didn't correct a lav anitag la'aseh. So a korban ola is there to kind of fill in that gap. The Rambam, as well, he writes, al chataos avon chatas. You know why you bring a korban chatas? For the averas that deserve a korban chatas. Val Asham Avon Asham. Okay, you have to know the lists of which Averis deserve an Asham, Warren, Achatas, etc. The Al HaOyle says the Rambam, Maisa Korbanus Gimel Yedalid. Why in the places would a person ever bring a Korban Oyle? Misvade Avon. You confess the sin of an Asay. I didn't put on my tefillin today, for example. Or Avon Lo Ta'asay Shenita Kla Asay. Or seemingly what that means, I stole, I had the opportunity to rectify it by giving it back, and I didn't, or something like that. Beautiful. Okay, so would you say that the Korban Ola is an obligation? Do you have to bring it?
No.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Sounds like you should.
Ah, see that? See, that's the key word of the evening. You should. Right? You should. You should. But it's a fascinating, we'll say, tension in the halacha here, where one hand, you didn't really violate an avera. Did you do something wrong? Yes. But not that you did something that was so bad, is that you missed an opportunity to do something right. Maybe.
There's a knas. This is neither.
Right. There's no chiyuv, there's no knas, no onesh, right.
Now, this is going to get you good points if you do it.
Ah, very good. So we're learning that exactly. Now there is a Ramban. The Ramban says there's a midrash. All right, so now if a person has an internal thought that he wants to do something wrong, an inappropriate thought, we'll say whether it's related to Arayos or Avodah Zarah, but he had a temptation internally to violate the Torah, so he didn't really do anything. He didn't do anything, he didn't act upon it, but Hashem knows that it's in his heart. So it says the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Ha'ola al ruchachem, He lo tiye ha'ola mechaperes al ruchachem, says the Midrash. For what you had in your ruach, that's why the ola needs to come. You need to bring an korban ola to serve as an atonement for the negative thoughts, inappropriate thoughts that were going on inside your lave. Unbelievable idea. From Shirin Bar Yochai and Rabbi Levi. And the Ramban explains, the only one who knows about that avera is you and Hashem. So what is an ola? It goes all the way up to Hashem. The korban ola, which literally means to go up, is the korban that is not eaten by a kohen or you. It's just between you and God. It goes all the way up to Hashem, and Hashem accepts it because he understands exactly why you're bringing it. So all of a sudden, we have a wonderful list all of a sudden of why we would bring a korban ola. Either A, you did not do a mitzvah's essay, B, you messed up on a lav hanitak la'asei, or C, you had hirhurim, you had inappropriate thoughts. But although the korban ola is coming to serve as a kapara, the irony is that you don't have to bring one. You don't have to bring it. Says Gemara in Zvachim, Zayinam Beis, v'amar Rava, ola doronhi. Fascinating. It's considered to be a present. Now, a present, by definition, sounds like it's voluntary. Hey chidami, because Gemara says, why are you bringing a korban ola? He delayed a tshuva. If there's no tshuva, zevech v'shaim toeva. So there's no chance you're bringing a korban if you didn't do tshuva. Hashem is not interested in your korban if you didn't do tshuva. So you did tshuva. So what's the question on that? If you did tshuva, then what? Why do you need to bring a korban? You did tshuva already. V'idi'ika tshuva hatanya avar al mitzvah saseh. He said, oh, you didn't put in your tefillin. Well, it's really bad. But you know what? If you do tshuva, Hashem removes it. If you do tshuva, lo zaz misham Hashem ochlim lo. So, okay, it wasn't as bad as Alota said. You didn't break Shabbos. You just didn't do a mitzvah. You didn't shake lulav when you're supposed to. So, you know what? You did tshuva. Elishma mina doronhu. Although you did tshuva, and Hashem forgave you, what would you call this? A little what? A little cherry on top. A little present, says the Gemara. It's an extra. Says the Helig Rashi on Zvachim Zayim Rebeit on that Gemara. Ein ba'al l'chaper. It's not coming to really atone. Al asay kapara mamish. It's not literally atonement because you did tshuva. Ela achar shekipra hatshuva. Al asay. Although the tshuva already was effective, he ba'al hakbalas panim. It's there as if you're receiving a face. You're smoothening out a relationship that needs a little bit more love. Ka'adam shesarach b'melech. someone did something bad to the king. And apparently he fixed the issue via some means. He's Yaitzezan. But when he wants to greet the king face to face, he still brings a gift. Ooh. So here's what I'm going to say. In a relationship, we're going to compare it to a car. Car. It could be either in reverse, which is bad, neutral, which is neutral, and drive. You do an Avera, that's reverse. You're in the wrong direction with Hashem. You do tshuva, at least Meira, or whatever, you get the kapara, you bring your korban, that's putting it back in neutral. But what puts it back in drive? That's the korban ola. Where we're going to say it's not part of Judaism. We're not looking to be part of. We're looking to be fleishiks. Looking to be fleishiks. Alvin, you know the difference between parv and fleishiks? By the way, Stam, anyone who comes to the shiur on Wednesday night, you don't get the regular mishloach manos with the Hershey kisses. You get the fleishiks. You get the fleishiks, okay? So anyone who comes by my home, you're all invited. I'll share some Dr. Pepper. I only drink Dr. Pepper, fresh Dr. Pepper, on Shabbos and Purim. Leftover from Shabbos, I'll still have it. A little flat. It's not the same kick. But my Shabbos soda is Dr. Pepper. On Purim, anyone who wants to come, we'll share a Dr. Pepper. I'll give you some of the Rebbetzin's challah. She made homemade rolls for you this evening. Deli roll. So that's our theme. Roll. Roll. We'll roll with it. I don't know, I just made that up on the spot, but it kind of works. We have Kinara cookies. I don't really know how that fits with the rolling theme, but we have the roll, the deli roll. Can you have it? I don't know, whatever. The chocolate chips roll, whatever. Anyone who has a good idea. Okay, and by the way, Dr. Pepper, you know, Dr. Pepper doesn't need any excuses. That's just good. So everyone's invited to my home Purim day. Very, very promising costume. I don't want to say it out loud, but let's just say it has no political, to get the hype a little bit built up. One of my closest friends is a big rav in a very big shul. And I told him when I'm dressing up for Purim this year, and he said he would not be able to get away with that costume in his community because everyone would assume that he was making a political statement. And I said, I guarantee you, in fair law, no one's gonna give me any, you know, flack for it except for one person who's gonna make a comment. See if I'm right. Be that as I'm, everyone's invited on Purim. And anyone listening online, come. We'll share some deli roll if you're an online listener. It'll be great. Track me down. We'll get together on Purim. Okay, so we're trying to move from pariv to flesh. So, okay, you got your kapara. But if you're not in a good relationship, so let's just talk for Mashal Shalabai. So if you're not in a fight, well, that's a good marriage. No, that's neutral. It's pariv. You want your marriage to be fleshik. You want to go out. It's flesh. You want to go out. It should be geshmak. So that's the korban ola. Beautiful, beautiful. And Rashi says it explicitly on Davav in Zvachim. You don't need to bring this korban. You don't need to do this. Unbelievable. Okay. Now the Ramban, you know what he says? You know what he says? He says, when you bring the korban ola, you're bringing this b'nidvat nafsho. It's literally voluntary. Wow. And he says, you know why? Here's what the Torah is mechadish. You know what the chiddush of the Torah is? You would have thought that Hashem will only forgive you with a korban if you violated the Torah, what? B'shogeg, accidentally. So what is the Torah teaching us when it says v'niratze, v'nirtze, right? You're going to bring the korban ola, and the Torah says black and white, v'nirtze lo. What is nirtze lo? Nirtze lo chaper. What is nirtze chaper? What extra language? You said, you know, I intentionally didn't put tefillin on today. And there's no way out of this, because it was b'mezid. So what does the Torah teach you? That even though it was intentional, what? The korban ola could still get you out of it. Wow. Wow. Because the idea is that she'enam ritsuyim lemelech. Ooh. The Torah never said you're going to die for not putting your tefillin on, or for not shaking lulav, or not eating matzah. There's no death penalty, but Hashem's not happy with you. So you know what? She'avra mitzvah, so you neglected his mitzvah. You did not do what you were supposed to do. Uvame yisratzu el adunayim. So how are you going to make up with Hashem? B'doron hazeh, with this gift. Do you realize what the Korban Olah accomplishes? It's an amazing thing.
Isn't that the way the Chatat works also?
Okay.
So you get kapara from doing tshuva.
Yeah.
And then it's the Korban Chatat that actually...
Right. The only difference is that you're obligated to bring a Korban Chatat, right? So I'm happy you're saying this, Adam, because the truth is all Korbanos repair the relationship with Hashem. They all do. That's what the Ramban said in its introduction. That every time you sin, you're at risk for losing the Shechina, and every Korban repairs the relationship between Hashem.
Mikarev,
a korban, v'diyuk.
So the olah is not a chiyuv because it comes on a mezid, and you can't be mechayev someone to you did it the mezid, so there's no chiyuv. There should be no return.
That's it.
There should be no return.
Right.
So it's not. I'm not going to be mechayev you to do something. But if you have that burn to do it...
Right, so Amy's pointing out like why it makes sense. Because if you intentionally put your tefillin on, the ultimate tshuva is to have the motivation to do it. Meaning the whole avodah in the first place was the lack of motivation to be good.
Right. I can't force you to have a fake motivation.
That's it, right. But if you bring the korban olah voluntarily, that's like the ultimate tshuva. Now, Dr. Karper's pointing out that it's not so different than the other korbanos, but it is different. Namely, A, you did this intentionally, you can still bring a korban, right? That does not apply to Shabbos, right? Right? Meaning it's a mezid versus a shogig. And here, you're not obligated to do it at all. You're doing it because you want to do it. So the two fundamental differences between the korban olah that puts it, between the korban olah and the other korbanos, puts it in a different category. Okay, beautiful. Now, that's all korban olah, parshas vayikra. Nothing to do with Purim yet, really? Now we're going to bridge this idea of the voluntary repairing and changing your relationship with Hashem from parav to fleishik, from neutral to drive, with Purim. Haman and his buddies were summoned to Ahasuerus and the party because Ahasuerus wanted to know how to respond to a disrespectful Vashti. He summoned his people, Karshina, Shesar, Admasa, Tarshish, Meres, Marsan, and Mamukhan, all the seven officers, and he said, what should I do? You know, Vashti just... And, you know, Mamukhan was Haman, he said, kill her. Good. That's the first parak of Megillah's Esther. Nice. Says the Gemara Megillah Yud Beis Amud Beis, every one of these seven names is actually a hint to a different korban. Really? Amri Bilevi kol pasuk ze al shum korbanos ne'amar. Karshina. You know what the name Karshina is? It's not just a name. The angel said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, klum hikrivu lefenecha karim. They brought young cows. B'nei Shana. So the name Karshan is a reference, a remiss to our Korbanos, Hashem. The Malachim argued, they brought Korbanos, have mercy on them. What's the name? Shetar, Shesar? They brought the two Torin, the two turtle doves. Admasa, they had a Mizbech Adama. Tarshish, you know what Tarshish is? It's one of the Begadim in the Kohen Gadol, one of the stones. Tarshish, Meres, they would mix the blood. Mersu B'Adam, etc., etc. Every one of these seven names is a reference to a different aspect of the Korbanos or the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And apparently, Korbanos, that was able to convince the Ribbono Shel Olam to save us. Because of Korbanos. The Malachim had convinced Hashem to say, in the merit of the Korbanos, you got to help them. You got to help them. Unbelievable.
No, it wasn't enough.
All right.
It wasn't enough, but it was...
It started the process.
It delayed the kloya that would have been taking place.
Oh, yeah. So I have to look up exactly...
It abated the kloya.
It did something good. Our korbanos allowed us to have something good.
Bodhisattva,
yeah. Very good. So now the Gemara Megillah Yud Beis Amud Aleph. That was Yud Beis Amud Beis with Dafa. And I'm an earlier. So the famous Gemara, the Talmid, the master of Shimon Bar Yochai, what did we do that was so bad that we deserved to be destroyed in the days of Haman? So a good Rebbe says to his Talmidim, you tell me, what do you think? So they told the Rebbe, well, they went to Ahasuerus' party. They enjoyed a bad party. So Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai said, okay, but that only applied to the Jews in Shushan. Why would Hashem want every Jew to die? So he said, okay, Rebbe, that's good. So what's Pshat? Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai said, they bow down to the Tselem. They bow down to some idol. So they said, Rebbe, so how do they get out of it? If they bow down to Avodah Zarah, they should have died. And Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said, they were faking it. Heim lo asu ela lefanim. Af kadosh baruch hu lo asa iman ela lefanim. It was only on the outside. They had to bow down. Rashi says, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, so there was a tzelem. Nebuchadnezzar wanted all the Jews to bow down to his image. So they didn't mean it when they bowed down. It was external. So Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem said, I'm not really going to kill them. I'm going to fake it. Just like they faked Avodah Zarah, I'm going to fake the killing. I know I'm going to save them. But you know what we're going to learn from this? Come on, we're going to tie it back. When you do Avodah Zarah, that's really bad. When you fake Avodah Zarah, it's not as bad, but it's not all in. Who was all in? Hananya, Mishael, Azariah. They weren't even prepared to fake Avodah Zarah, right? They were in. They were fleishiks. They were in drive. So the Maharsha explains over there, listen, they were afraid, they didn't want to die. Look at Sefer Daniel. They didn't really care about Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't having a religious crisis of Avodah Zarah. So Hashem said, okay, I'll do the same thing. Let me scare them so that they do tshuva. Because if I don't scare them, they're not going to do tshuva. So you know what that means? We needed to be more all in. What was Hashem really saying? If they're on the madrega to fake Avodah Zarah, that means they're not fully committed. They're not fully committed. If you're fully committed, you don't even look like you do Avodah Zarah. I don't like the fact that even externally they're not committed. So let me make sure I shake them up a little bit so that what? Even externally, they're not going to do that stuff. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Now, why is that so bad? And now this is going to create the stage for Mordechai. If you do Avodah Zarah, that's really bad. What if you don't do Avodah Zarah for the wrong reasons? Itmar, over Avodah Zarah, me'ava o me'ira. I'm just doing it because I love the guy who wants me to do it, or I'm really afraid of the guy who wants me to do it. All right, so some of the big guy, bow down to my idol. I don't care about his idol, but what? I don't want him to hit me. I don't want him to kill me. So what would you say? Do I have to give up my life for that or not? You're not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. It's one of the three cardinal sins. Abaye says, that's Avodah Zarah. You bow down to an idol, that's Avodah Zarah. Rav says, that's not Avodah Zarah. Abaye says, you bow down to the thing. What? Hello? And Rav says, but you didn't mean it. You didn't mean it.
Just one of the Abayes, we passed on like Abaye. That's not Yalakutah.
Ayan?
Homework.
All right, so we're saying that Rava says you're putt. Rava says this is not real Avodah Zarah. So Rava says it's like Haman. Haman, there it is. The Purim story comes out. You know what? Haman made himself into an idol. But you know what? They were only worshiping him out of fear, right? Meaning... So again, that whole sugya comes up in the Purim story because what? What were they doing about Azara? Very nice. All right, so not this is not one of the algorithms. Tosvos over there says, wait a minute. If Rava holds that fake of Azara is not of Azara, why in the places did what? Did Mordechai not bow down to Haman? What's the big deal? You're faking it. So what, you have to put the whole Jewish religion at stake? We're all going to get annihilated because what? You don't want to fake Avodah Zarah? So why did Mordechai didn't bow down? According to Rava, it's not Avodah Zarah. It was Meira. He was just afraid of Haman. So what do you think? So this is two answers. Number one, this was real Avodah Zarah. You can't fake this because Haman put real idols on him. So you can't fake that. Meaning if you're bowing down to an idol, you have to say that it looks like Avodah Zarah. It is Avodah Zarah. But we're not going to dwell on that answer. The second answer is that it's Mishum Kiddush Hashem. If you're faking it, it's not in reverse. You're not doing anything wrong, but what? It's not what? It's not in drive either. Mordechai was in drive. You think I'm gonna appear to bow down to this guy, even if I don't do it for the wrong reasons? I'm gonna make a big fuss about this for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, Mordechai, they were all in. I'm not even going to look like I'm giving into this stuff. It's a Gemara Megillah, Yud Tesef, and Aleph. It says before that Haman made himself into a god, whatever, not for now. But ultimately, I want to draw from this sugya, this Tosfos, the second answer of Tosfos in Maseches Hanishas HaMaharal HaBeis, that Mordechai wasn't looking to get by with a check. He was looking to, quote-unquote, bring a Korban Ola. I'm looking to be Ola, all in. And Ola is all in. The whole thing goes in. You hear it, Abe, or no?
I hear it. I don't like the Ola, all in.
All Ola, the whole Korban goes up.
Right. Well, if you think
so. All right. The mathematician. Yeah, what do you mean by the Hanukkah story? Yeah. Very good. That was even worse. That was even reverse. They were mamish, you know, dropping religion. It's not so clear that the Jews in the days of Mordechai and Haman were like, you know, like the Suda was kosher, lemaisa, right? Meaning like they made sure that the wine was kosher, right? The Gemara says, like,
right, Kadas.
Yeah, exactly, Kadas. Right? Enon Eis, it was all kosher. So this is a halach in Shulchan Aruch. Guess what? It comes up again. If you are told, I'm going to kill you, unless you violate Shabbos, you violate Shabbos. You always want to live, except for the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Shvichus Damim, Gil Arayos. So if someone says, I'm going to kill you, don't put on your tefillin today. So you don't put on your tefillin that day. You don't lose your life over not doing an aseh. If there's a gzeira, even a gzeira is a shema, not to do a mitzvah aseh. If there's a law, we ban tefillin. So you know what? You don't give up your life for that because, okay, you're not doing a positive mitzvah. You're not doing an averus. So says the Rama, unless it's a desperate time. Unless you're Mordechai HaTzadik, i.e., where you're trying to make a point to Klal Yisrael. Let's say Bnei Yisrael are very lax in a particular mitzvah. Why are you giving yourself up for that mitzvah? You're making the point to Klal Yisrael that this mitzvah is a big deal. You don't have to give up your life to not put on tefillin. To put on tefillin, you need to give up your life? No. But if no one's putting on tefillin, and you end up giving up your life, the message you're sending is, chevra, tefillin's very important. Tefillin's very important. And this Ramaz in Shulchan Aruch, and it reminds me of Mordechai. You want to say that it was technically mutter to bow down to Haman? Okay. But what message did Klal Yisrael need to hear at that time? If you're a leader in Klal Yisrael, you need to send the message to Klal Yisrael saying, this is not our value system. Our value system demands a higher standard. We don't care about this guy. This guy is evil. And you know what? That's what worked. What happened in the Purim story? After the second letters went out, giving us the ability to, quote unquote, have the right to defend ourselves, the Jewish people said, whoa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ora zu Torah. Tova is what? I'm sorry, Simcha is what? Yom Tov. Sason zu Mila. And Vikar is Tefillin. Okay, beautiful. Very, very nice. And it's similar to the other Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, where the Torah says in Esther, one parak later, that Kimu v'kibla Yehudim. What are they? They re-accepted. What do they re-accept? Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Amar Rav Avdimi Barchama Barchasa, Hashem, we know, picked our Sinai up over our heads and said, if you don't accept the Torah, what's going to happen? I'm going to bury you on the spot. So, as a businessman, what could you argue? It's a faulty deal. Why? We were forced into accepting the Torah. So now what happens if we don't keep the Torah? What can we say to Hashem? Hashem, it's not our fault. We never really agreed to it in the first place. So that's what Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says. It's a moda rab. It's very, very scary. Because anytime Hashem says, oh, you guys are in trouble, you didn't keep the Torah, we could say, Hashem, sorry to say, we never really accepted the Torah willingly anyway, because you forced us to keep it. So we're not really at fault. That's why Rava says, in the days of Achashverosh, we re-accepted the Torah this time willingly. That's everything. Willingly. What do you mean, Highness Esther? What do you mean, A.B.? Oh, that's it. So Rashi says they love the miracle that they re-accepted the Torah. And the Rashba explains so beautifully over there. That Rashba, Masechta Shabbos, Peches, Amud Aleph, that, okay, we went through the motions when we accepted the Torah. We went into Israel and we did it. Nasa v'nishma, we went through it. But you know what? When we went back with the second base of Mikdash, the Kiblu Beratzon, no longer could there ever be a claim that we weren't truly committed to the Torah. The Purim story inspired us so much that we said we have to reaccept the Torah, this time fully willingly. Okay, granted we kept the Torah before Purim, but we didn't do it because we wanted to. We weren't excited about it. This time we're doing it the right way. We're doing it the right way. Wow. Wow. That was it. Amdu me'atzma v'kiblu b'ratzon. That's it. That's the Rashba. Who says this idea? I learned this from my Rebbe, Rabbi Baruch Simon, and why you back in the day? The Sfas Emes. What does that mean? Torah, Orezu Torah, Simcha Yom Tov, whatever. Says the Sfas Emes in the Sichos to Purim, Tav Reish Memches. He says, listen, you know what the Geula really was? On a physical level, we could have been annihilated, and we did not get annihilated. But on a spiritual level, we re-found our love for Torah and mitzvos. Before Purim, we were in the status of being forced into the religion, like the mountain over our heads. But through the Purim story, that's pshat kimu mashikiblu kvar. The Sfas Emes puts these two gemaras together. That kimu v'kiblu, and lahidum haisa or v'simcha. What are those two gemaras together combined to mean? That finally we were so excited about Judaism. We weren't just doing it because we needed to. We were doing it because we wanted to. And that, in my humble opinion, is the Korban Ola. I'm not looking to get a check. I'm looking to get a check plus. That's Purim. I'm not looking to get a check. I don't want to get a bad grade in the class. I don't want to get marked cut. I want to learn this stuff. I'm not looking to get a degree. I'm looking to get an education. I'm not looking not to go to Gehenna. I'm looking to maximize my time in this world with the Ribono Shel. And that's all what Purim's about. You know what Purim's all about? Showing people that you're excited. What's Mishloach Manos? Who do we give Mishloach Manos to? Wealthy people. It's not about giving tzedakah. Matanos Avinu give tzedakah. Poor people. What in the world are you giving Mishloach Manos to? What's the point of that? To show your friend that what? The relationship's not parv. It's fleishiks. Kishmo kein hu. Right? What's the idea? That it's not, oh, b'dievet. We're friends. We say gishab ishad. No, says the Ritva Megillah, it's Simchas Purim. You tell your friend you love them, you go all out, you give. You give from the sake of giving. And that's ideally what the whole idea of the Su'udah is. It's supposed to remind you how Geshmak Judaism is. Because you know what? When you have a wine and meat and a festive meal, and you associate that with Judaism, says the Ksav Sofer, a beautiful tshuva over there, is that you associate Judaism with the white and the wine and the meat. You're not just drinking away your problems, you're reminding yourself how beautiful Judaism is. Can't elaborate on that. Stops over right now, but who tried to make us doubt this? Amalek. What did Amalek do? They attacked us. What's the gematria of Amalek? Safek. You know, we generally assume that the Rashi says that all the non-Jews were so afraid of us until Amalek. It's like the jumping to a boiling hot bath, you cool the bath down. But even us, we were so convinced that Hashem was real until Amalek tried to convince us otherwise, right? So what's the whole idea of Parshas Zachar and Purim? Realizing that Amalek's wrong. That there's nothing more beautiful than Judaism. There's nothing more beautiful than bringing a Korban Ola. It's not about just getting by. It's about maximizing. And even if a Malik tried to convince us otherwise, we tell them they are dead wrong. And that's what it's like to be all in. And unfortunately, a Malik's always all in. That's their thing. They're all in to get us away from the Ribono Shelom. And the way to fight a Malik is to be all in. Jump right back into that bath. Because we love Hashem just as much as they hate Hashem. Let's daven Marv.